Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Psalm to start with. Psalm 95. How many of you enjoy making things with your hands? I know several people that do. My dad included, and you know, I'll give it a try. I'm not so talented at it, but when there's a need, I may try. But I like to think in terms of what it is to make something, to build something, create something. You know, when you or I think we're going to make or build something, we grab some material, go to Lowe's Hardware or what have you, or go out in the backyard, go to our building or shop or what have you, and we'll gather something and try to make something out of what material we have. And so when we think about the Lord as the creator, the builder, the maker, really what a distinction that is. Because when we make something, we're doing that through something that's already provided to us. We're building something, being the creator or maker of something, we might call it, out of the material that, well, if we go out and cut a tree down or go to the hardware store and pick up something, whether it's wood or metal or what have you, it's something God has already created. So really, we're just borrowing something from the Lord, aren't we? But if we go back to Genesis, time and again in chapter 1, it says, And God said. I mean, you'll find it like 8 or 9 times, that little phrase, and God said. Referencing the things that he created out of nothing. That's quite the distinction from what we mean when we say, well, you know, I like to make things. I like to build things. I like to create something or whatever. But in the strict term, meaning of the term to create or make, the Lord is our maker. And so I have you in Psalm 95 to start with, because I'd like to continue on in the series of the names of God. And when looking at the different names of God, several of them are compound names. Several of them are names that are not used very often. We see Jehovah connected often with another name or a term, thus making a unique compound name. And as I've already looked at a dozen or so, we come to this one today, Jehovah Hosaku, meaning the Lord our Maker. We find it here in Psalm 95 and in verse 6. We see associated with this short chapter with praise and worship. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And so it continues with this attitude of praise and worship and exhortation that we acknowledge the Lord our Maker. So we find it uniquely in this particular passage. But in considering this portion, my mind went to the term maker and to look at the term maker throughout God's word. We find it, the King James use of the word maker, some 17 times in reference to the things of the Lord. And we see in the poetic books particularly, and we see the prophet Isaiah. And in these areas we find this term prominent, the Lord our Maker. Now again, when you look at the names of God, there are several. Some are used just a time or two. Some are used several dozen or maybe hundreds of times. But here we find it in this unique compound use, Jehovah Hosoku, the Lord our Maker. Now we're going to look at times when this compound name is not there per se, but just the term Maker. You'll notice several pronouns associated with his or our or my or thee or thy Maker. You'll notice that in the different contexts. But you know, this opens up a large study that obviously could go on in a series of sorts for a long time, and that is creation. It brings our mind to the large subject of God our Creator and His creation, which we see throughout the Psalms. We see it even just in passing, it seems, just alluded to in various places through the prophets, specific details as you read in the epistles. We're reminded of the Lord our Creator as we look today at the term our Maker. For a moment, let's stay in Psalms. Let's go to chapter 19. We're going to look at three Psalms and just briefly remind ourselves, as we saw in that compound use of this name, the Lord our Maker, we're reminded of how we're exhorted to worship. When we look at the names of God in general, they often, whether it's the names of God or the attributes of God, it should promote our hearts to worship. And the names of God helps us in this area of reminding ourselves of Him, of who He is, and what He has, is, and will do. So in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So we see things concerning this one, our Creator, and how creation around us declares His glory. Verse 3 continues, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And so the rest of the text concerns the details about the Word of God. And so here we see opening the chapter concerning God's creation and how it points to His glory. We could go over several chapters to Psalm 136, if you would please. 136. We'll just read a small portion of this chapter. Psalm 136, beginning with exhortation and reminder of thanksgiving. Giving thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We're going to read there at verse 4. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, whether it's out, as our brother has spoken about, how we anticipate perhaps a beautiful week, and we look at the sun, or whether we're out at night, and perhaps we're trying to rest, and we see the moon, the stars, it reminds us of the glory of God. It reminds us of His attributes. It reminds us of His character. It reminds us of His sovereignty and His all-powerful being. So, one more. Let's go to Psalm 139 across the page. A very well-known chapter, because in 139 it talks about the fact that the Lord is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. Just want to note particularly there in verse 14 and 15 and 16, as you see beginning at verse 14, we see in a specific way His creation. Here we see, in some sense, you could say his highest creation, because it points out what he has done in reference to mankind. Yes, he created the moon and the stars and the plants and the animals, but mankind, we are made in his image, in his likeness. One of the kids showed me a picture, a color picture. It's supposed to be the most detailed known picture of this human cell, and it was just very unique. And to think about the DNA and everything that is involved with that study, it's amazing to think what the Lord has done in making man. But in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Precious promises based on the fact that the Lord created us, made us. We are his. We have been made in the image and likeness of God. And yet we're a fallen race in need of a Savior. And thus the Lord Jesus, not only known through God's word as our Creator, but he's our Savior. He's the one who died for us. And now he lives to keep us. So with this bit of an introduction, let's look at the word maker. And we'll go to the book, if you would, back up to the book of Job. The book of Job is, Brother Bill was encouraging us with portions from Job earlier today. We go to chapter 4 to start with. And the times that you find, as I mentioned, many of the times you find the word maker are in the poetic books. And you begin in chapter 4, and here we find this one, Eliphaz, one of those three quote-unquote friends that were talking and condemning Job. We see him use this term maker kind of in a rhetorical way as he's questioning Job. So in 4 and 17, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? So isn't that amazing statement? Now, again, we know the context. We think about these three. They're challenging Job. But yet, some of the statements are unique to think about. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? With that, let's move on in Job to chapter 32. Now we move forward, and we come to the fourth man to speak. Not one of those three friends that were condemned, but this one that we see, Elihu. We see this one. There's a bit of a difference here. We'll read the beginning just to get the context. 32 of Job, verse 1. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. And Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men. Then his wrath was kindled. So with that, here's this one who's not rebuked by the Lord. He speaks, he yields the floor to those older, and he has some things to say. And this is where we find the other references to our Maker in the book of Job. We see in chapter 32 still, as he begins speaking, we see there verse 21, 32:21 of Job. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. Neither let me give flattering titles unto men, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away." That's a remarkable statement. But may we ponder this thought about giving men flattering titles. Now, I know we give titles when it comes to work situations, someone's a doctor or what have you, and it's referring to in that sense. But if we had time to explore it a little bit, we could go in other places and see when it comes to religious titles, the Lord's not pleased with that. We should exhort the Lord and not lift up man. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. Even Paul, who is interesting that it says about Paul that he is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not, as people often say, the capital A apostle Paul. It's kind of referring to his work, the way he said in Scripture, instead of lifting him up. It's a difference. We see how the Lord in Matthew, for example, spoke about that we should call one's brethren, not rabbi or father or master in a religious sense or teacher, but we're all brethren. So it's interesting, as we see here, looking at our Maker and hear how this one, Elihu, how he refers to something of titles, and yet he points out the Maker, the one that we need to worship, the one we need to exalt. It's the Maker, not fellow creation. Let's move on and go to 35 of Job, 35:10. "But none saith, where is God my Maker? Who giveth songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. There they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Where is God my Maker?" He said, well, none saith this. Who giveth songs in the night? That's a wonderful statement, little phrase. The one who gives songs in the night. He's the one we can focus on, our Maker, as this one is pointing out in his dialogue. As he continues, we look at one more. And we see across the page in 36:3, Elihu is still talking. And we'll notice here, verse 2 and 3, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty and despises not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked," etc., etc., "but giveth right to the poor." So here we see this one, again, referencing the Maker. Here it's my Maker. "And will ascribe righteousness to my Maker." He's the one, again, pointing out his attributes. When we look at the different names of God, here we see the one who's righteous. One of the names of God that we looked at was talking about the one who is righteous, very specific in this name. So with this, we can press on, and I'd like to consider further in the poetic books, Proverbs for a moment. These few references to the term Maker, we find many in the poetic books. So in the book of Proverbs 14, now there's a pattern here. As well, we find in Proverbs the reference of the poor. Let's ponder that a little bit. Proverbs 14:31. "He that oppresses the poor reproaches his Maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor." So keep that in thought. We're going to read the others. Let's go to 17:5, it's just three here in Proverbs we want to consider. Proverbs 17:5. "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his Maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished." One more, 22 of Proverbs. 22, and verse 2. We'll start with verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. So each of the Proverbs, it refers to the maker, our maker. We think of as poor and rich. God has made us all. In the sense of we're all but dust. You know, we're all created equally, no matter what material blessings or things we accumulate are. Whatever our plight in life might be, God is our maker. And thus we're equal. And so as it comes to not being prejudiced, not willing to share the gospel with someone, you can fill in the blank in a lot of ways. When all things are said and done, when we die, as appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment, when we leave this earth, it's not going to matter it really at all whether we were poor or rich. We will have to stand before our Maker. So may we treat one another in a way that's equal in that sense. As far as we look at one another as someone else who has been created in the image and likeness of God. And thus they need the gospel as much as I do. So we think of the poetic books and his, our maker. Let's now go to the poetic books briefly. Let's go to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17. We find encouragement here. Verse 7. We see, at that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. He shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. So here we think of respecting him. Look to our Maker. He's the one that we should honor and respect. We think about what he's done in putting us here, putting breath in our lungs, giving us the opportunity to see his glory in a sense of through creation, and the opportunity to know him personally through his Son. We need to respect and honor our Maker. We move on in the book of Isaiah. We see in chapter 45, Isaiah 45. Here it reminds us of the one who's all powerful. Psalm 45, verse 9. We see blessings there in verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his Maker. Let the postures strive with the postures of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begattest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask of things to come concerning my sons, etc. And so here we see this one who's all powerful. We see the Lord of Israel, our Maker. And we see a couple more in Isaiah 51, if you would please. Isaiah 51. 51:13. Now we see a reminder that we forget not our Maker. 51:12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou shouldest be afraid of a man that should die? And of the Son of Man which shall be made of grass? And forgetteth the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? It goes on from there concerning this one, I am the Lord thy God. We find, again, forgettest the Lord thy maker? You know, we hear ones that reject the Lord, and they would praise sometimes and be so caught up in creation, but they reject the Creator. We see that Romans 1 warns us and reminds us there are ones that worship the creature instead of the Creator. But we that know Him, we can look around, we can see His creation, and we can be praising God and talk about how wonderful it is, how beautiful it is today. Even though we're in this fallen world, we can still look around and see glimpses of His glory and His majesty because of creation and the blessings that He sheds upon us. May we not forget our Maker. And thus, it brings our hearts to worship. Sometimes at the remembrance meeting, when we're here, we're remembering the Lord in His death as His appointed way. He's told us to do this as believers. And sometimes brothers will be led to stand and read, and it might be a passage in the Psalms that talks about Him as the Creator and different things that point to His attributes or to His work. And yet, to the mind of a believer, you can read this and praise Him, and yet your mind can go to the cross and think about this one and what He has done. He didn't stop in creating us. He went all the way to death, yeah, the death of the cross for us. Oh, when we forget our Maker. But as a believer, we should remember Him. And that's on a daily basis, not only as we come together as believers, but yet we see both aspects on a moment-by-moment basis. May we not forget our Maker. And so we find as well, one more in Isaiah 54, please. Isaiah 54. And we'll notice there in verse 5. There's promise to the desolate in this section. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is His name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall be called. For the Lord hath called thee as woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. And so here we think of ones that, as verse 1, sing, O barren, that didst not bear. So we can still, in the difficulties of life and things that we don't understand and things that string out in life that are hard to deal with, and it seems like week after week or month after month or year after year, this is our issue of life. And yet He's there for us. As verse 5, for thy Maker is thine husband. He's there for you. Even if there's things that you feel there's lacking. Perhaps someone who's barren. We read about different times in Scripture when ones desired to have a child. And there were times when the Lord heard their cry and they were given a child. As you remember, the birth of Samuel. So we see the Lord, our Maker, He is there. He's the one who gives life and takes life away. So there's the promise to the desolate here of our Maker. Let's go over to Jeremiah for one. Continuing in the prophets, we have a couple of more. In Jeremiah 33, looking at our Maker. 33 and 2, of course, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. We see much difficulty Jeremiah would write about. And yet, there is promises, gracious promises in our Lord. Jeremiah 33, it says, verse 1, breaking in, it says when the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the Maker thereof, The Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Here we see gracious promises as you continue on, and you think in terms here of here's Jeremiah in prison. And yet, the Creator of all reminds him of the promises that are there for his people. Even in the difficulties of life, we that know him, we know that he has made gracious promises to us, our Maker. One more in the prophets. Go to the minor prophet of Hosea, please. Hosea 8, and then we'll conclude in the New Testament. Hosea 8. Jeez, look at the difficulty of this story of Hosea and reminder of the grace and mercy of God. Here in the context of Israel, we see Israel has forgotten their God. Judgment is coming. So we'll see that in 8 and 14. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker and builded temples, and so on. And so think of this, that we saw earlier about not forgetting our Maker. Here we see with Israel the acknowledgement of those that had forgotten, and yet impending judgment is coming. May we not forget him, our Maker. So let's go to the New Testament, to Hebrews, where we find this term Maker, and it's unique. We find it particularly with reference back to the Old Testament character of the patriarch Abraham. So when we go to Hebrews chapter 11, of course, the book of Hebrews reminds us throughout Hebrews that Christ is better. Better than all that we find in the Old Testament economy. Whether it's talking about the looking at the angels or the rest or the covenants, or the sacrifices. The conclusion Hebrews brings time and again is that looking back to the Old Testament, those were just mere pictures and shadows. Christ is better. And then we come to the practical applications in the latter chapters of Hebrews. And in chapter 11, this hall of fame of faith, this chapter of faith that we're all familiar with, surely, we look at these different people such as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and on from there. Notice here with Abraham in Hebrews 11, and we'll pick up there and we'll read for context at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These portions I want to look at briefly in Hebrews remind us of looking forward, looking at eternity, looking at who is our Maker and the Builder, and looking at the city to come. It's amazing when you look at the, again, one of the other names of God would study things concerning the future. I believe it's Lord Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And you look and you see whether it's the millennial reign or whether you look at the eternal state, the Lord is there. And yet when you look at the eternal state, the last two chapters of Revelation, it talks about many things that won't be there, like sin and crying and death and these things. But the things that are there, it talks about a new heavens, a new earth. It talks about the new Jerusalem. It talks about these wonderful things. Abraham was looking forward. He's looking, as it were, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking forward? Or are you just consumed with the things that are around you right now? Moreover, with this, let's go across to verse 16. Continuing about being pilgrims and strangers and thinking of Abraham and such. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Yes, God our Maker, our Builder, And then we go to chapter 12 across the page, and we see 12 and 22. As we're being encouraged in these latter portions of Hebrews, "But ye are come unto a Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Yes, once again here, looking unto a city of the living God. Our last verse is in chapter 13, across the page again. 13 of Hebrews and verse 13, 14. "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Are you anticipating the eternal state, eternity, after the dispensations have ceased, the failure of man no more? Those that love and know Christ as their Savior will be with him. And we think of the new things, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. But most of all, we will be in the presence of our Savior. Some of the things that won't be there, it also says there'll be no sun, S-U-N. Why? Because the sun, S-O-N, will be the light and the glory thereof. The Savior, he's the one that we'll be consumed with. So as with Abraham, are we looking forward to what our builder and maker has provided? That city where he is in the midst. May we be with him one day. Let's look to him now in prayer.